If someone were to ask you, what is repentance? How would you answer? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is repentance a consistent practice in your life? Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus picks up part two of a message in the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 3, in a message titled, What Does It Mean to Repent? Last time, Pastor Paul described repentance as a U-turn. It's a change of mind. I was going in the wrong sinful direction, and in God's power, I turned toward righteousness. What does it mean to repent? First, it means to turn to God with a heart of faith. It's not merely an act of the will. We need God's help. Second, it means to turn to God with godly grief. It's a sincere grief over our sin before God that leads to repentance. We'll learn the third part of the definition in this broadcast. Let's open our Bibles to Jonah chapter 3 as we together delight in the Word.
So we need to understand that biblical repentance is married to faith. It is not merely an exercise of the will. It's not having enough willpower to overcome something. The person who is repenting in the biblical sense recognizes that he or she cannot make the necessary changes without God's supernatural help. And that's why the doctrine of repentance is presented in the scripture as being another one of those mysterious tensions whereby we are commanded by God to repent, and yet the scriptures say that to even be able to repent is because of the kindness of God. Let me demonstrate that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That follows verses that indicate that in order to be saved, we must believe with all of our heart. We must confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. See, the gospel is a command from God. It's not an option. Too many times in evangelicalism in America, the gospel, the good news of salvation, is presented to people as if it's an option. It's one of a few different choices. And yet that is not how Scripture presents it. The gospel is a command from God. To not believe in Jesus Christ is to disobey a command of God. And disobeying that command doesn't just result in temporal consequences, but in eternal damnation. That's how serious it is. But those of us who have believed also have then the responsibility to announce that good news to the world. And that's because God has determined that the way that saving faith is birthed in a sinner's heart is through the preaching of the gospel. From pulpits, from our mouths, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, at our family reunions, the message Jesus preached was repent and believe the gospel. So repentance is the flip side of faith. You might say that they are two sides of the same coin, or you might say that they are Siamese twins that we should never try to separate. Repentance and faith. And yet Scripture says that when sinners repent, it's evident that the Holy Spirit is at work. Repentance is not ultimately a work of man alone, but it's a gift from God. In Acts 11, verse 18, Peter had given a report, and the believers who lived there heard his report of taking the gospel to the Gentiles, and they quieted down and they glorified God, saying this, Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. in Romans 2 tells us that it is out of the kindness of God that any of us come to repentance. It's not because we woke up one morning and thought, well, you know what, the smartest thing to do is turn to God. No. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes. See, Jonah preached the message that God sent to him, but the message of repentance required the response of faith. They believed God. But there's a second part to answering the question, what does it mean to repent? And that is, it means to turn to God with a godly grief. Look at the text. They called for a fast, verse 5 says, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Sackcloth was a very coarse fabric. I guess just think of old, nasty burlap. That would be what sackcloth would be like. And so when people in the Old Testament were grieving, when saints of God were grieving, they would wear sackcloth. And I don't know if it's just because of the uncomfortable response of the body to the sackcloth that was just a continual reminder that we should be grieving over our sin or what it was, but it was a sign of deep grief and humiliation. But that leads us to the question, is grief repentance? Is grief alone repentance? Because we see a lot of grief going on. Verse 6, even the king arises from his throne and he takes off of his robe and he puts on this nasty fabric, sackcloth, and he sits in a pile of ashes. And then he tells the whole city, you got to do the same thing. You need to repent. You need to grieve over your sin. It says then, verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and let them call out mightily to God. This is a pagan king. This is a pagan king calling his people, the whole city, to grieve over their sin and to call out to God. But is that grief alone repentance? Well, to answer that question, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because it's really important for us to understand that there are two kinds of grief, or two kinds of sorrow. There is, according to the Apostle Paul, a worldly sorrow that leads to death, that is a worldly grieving that doesn't lead to change of life, and there is a godly grief over sin that results in a complete shift in the direction of one's life. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, for even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Now, what he means by that is, this is the second letter he's written to the church at Corinth. And if you know anything about the first letter, you know it was a very grievous letter. It begins with some words of commendation and affirmation of the work of God and grace in their lives, but from that point on, it's almost unstoppable correction and rebuke. It was a very difficult letter for the apostle to write. And he says, if I made you grieve with my letter, I don't regret it. And your first thought is, whoa, that's kind of a calloused pastor's attitude. But he doesn't stop there. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. So I grieved that it grieved you. However, it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. So I wasn't rejoicing because my letter made you upset. I was rejoicing that God used my correction from him to what was going on in your lives and in your church to cause you to turn around. for you felt a godly grief, verse 9, so that you suffered no loss through us. For, here's the summation, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So the question is grief over sin alone, is that grief alone repentance? And the answer is no, it's not. It's when that grief leads us to make a change in our lives, a U-turn, that's when that grief becomes godly grief that leads us to repentance. So if our sin does not produce deep grief in our own hearts, which then leads to repentance, then we should ask ourselves if our hearts have become calloused toward God, or perhaps too comfortable with our sin that it doesn't bother us anymore. To repent means to turn to God with a godly grief. But there's a third part to answering the question, what does it mean to repent? And that is, to repent means to turn to God away from evil ways. Look at verse 8. Let everyone turn from his evil way. This is the king speaking. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So if repentance is a spiritual U-turn of faith and life, then two directions are in focus. There is a turning toward something, that is God and his ways, and in the turning toward someone, we are also turning away from something else, which in this case is sin. So that's the picture. That's the U-turn. Turning away from sin to God. That's what it means to repent. And we do that by faith. Another way to say it is this, that there is no turning to God without there also being a turning away from sin. There is no turning to God in faith without there also being a turning away from sin by faith and humility. This is what it means to repent. To repent means to turn to God. Turn to God with a heart of faith. So in the New Testament, that's why you always see repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe. Two sides of the same coin, Siamese twins that should not be separated. Turn to God with a heart of faith. But also it means to turn to God with godly grief. That is, that when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, we get pretty miserable about it, don't we? And that's okay, and that's good. It's healthy, provided we don't stay there. If we stay there, that's no good. Because then all we do is wallow in our sin, and we turn the eyes of our faith toward all of our failures, and all of the things that we've done to disobey God and displease God, we must quickly turn away from that and look to Christ, who has already conquered sin. I I think it was Robert Murray McShane who said, "For every one look you take at your sin, take 10 looks to Jesus." Turn to God with a godly grief, and then turn to God away from evil ways. So let me ask you this morning, do you need to make a U-turn? Is your life driving away from total dedication to God? Maybe not at 70 miles an hour, but maybe you're driving away so slowly at 24 miles an hour that you don't even notice it. What sinful ways or unhealthy habits do you need to turn away from in order to follow God with all of your heart? Because I want you to remember one thing this morning, and that is that in God's world, there are no signs that say no U-turns allowed. God welcomes U-turns. He commands us to turn to Him. And oh, what joy fills His heart when we do. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us new life. Not merely eternal life after we are dead. But Jesus came, He said in John 10:10, to give life and to give it abundantly. Jesus didn't just come to give us eternal life. He came to give us abundant life for the here and now. Not just eternal life in the future. Abundant life today. Do you need to make a U-turn? Do you need to respond to the gracious invitation of our Savior? These words from the end of Matthew 11 never get old, where Jesus says to us, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Are you weary and burdened this morning? Are you heading down the wrong road? Then make a U-turn today. Turn back to God. Jesus has already paid the price. And the Father and the Son, they stand with their arms open wide, welcoming you back to give you that new life, that abundant life. And so, Father, this morning, we just can't get over the greatness of your love for us. We have sinned against you in more ways than can ever be imagined or counted. We have failed you in so many ways, even after we came to know you. And so we recognize this morning that it's not just the unbeliever who has to repent and turn to Jesus for the very first time, but it's for the believer. It's for those of us who know Christ to regularly turn away from sin and the ways that we stray off of your good path. And we need to come back to you into the beauty and closeness of fellowship with you. So, Father, you know every heart here today. You know every man, woman, boy, and girl. And you know whether or not they need to make a U-turn for the very first time in their life to turn away from sin and unbelief and embrace Jesus as their Savior, to come to Him as the Lord who died in their place. So do that work in their hearts for those that have that need. Father, for those of us who know you, we so often go astray. Forgive us, Father. And this very morning, we say, I repent again. I make another U-turn. I turn away from straying, and I get back on your good path that leads to great blessing and fellowship with you. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. If any of us in this room were God, we would have given up on us already, long ago. But you're so patient. Thank you.
What an encouragement that God is a God of grace and long-suffering. He welcomes us and calls us to turn daily from our sins so that he might forgive us and restore us to sweet fellowship and fruitfulness in Christ. I'm joined by Pastor Paul. Paul, can you remind us what biblical repentance is and why is it so important for Christians?
Biblical repentance really is a discipline of the Christian life which can only be properly understood within the larger framework of sanctification, which is God's goal of remaking us into the image of Christ. And that goal of remaking us into the image of Christ requires us to be constantly putting off sin and putting on the practical righteousness of God. Because in Christ, we have died to sin and we have been made alive unto God in Christ. And so that is a process whereby we are becoming less and less sinful and more righteous in the practical outworking of our daily lives. In John 17, Jesus prays that we will be sanctified by the truth of God's word. So as the Holy Spirit uses the scriptures to reveal our heart to us and convicts us of areas of sin in our lives, then we are going to need to repent. We are going to need to change our mind about our sin, and we are going to need to change the direction of our lives, which is essentially what repentance is. It's a 180-degree turn. It's an about-face. So when the Spirit shows us our sin, then we need to seek a fresh supply of God's forgiveness. And that's what the promise of 1 John 1:9 is all about, which we really need to understand in its context. John says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In other words, if we get to the point in our Christian life where we think we never need to repent, then there's self-deception at work in us. But when we do see our sin and we repent and we confess our sins, then there's the wonderful promise of God's word that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then he goes on in verse 10 to say, again, a warning to us, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So the doctrine of repentance is so important for us as Christians because it helps us to deal honestly with our hearts and what God is working in us to remake us into the image of Christ and to be constantly seeking his forgiveness when we do sin.
Why do you think repentance is so often neglected?
The discipline of repentance is often neglected because some Christians wrongly assume that it is a one-time event at the moment of salvation. But if that were true, then there are many scriptures that would not make sense. Psalm 51, for example, is a prayer of repentance and confession from King David, who was already a man after God's own heart. He was already a believer. But he had sinned. He had acted wickedly in God's sight, and his fellowship with God had been broken by his sin, and he needed to be restored. And so he pleads with God to be washed clean of his sin, to be cleansed by God in the very depths of his inner being. But repentance is also often neglected because Christians don't understand the difference between judicial punishment and fatherly discipline. We need to remember that the punishment for our sin was already endured by Jesus on the cross when he died in our place. So God does not punish us when we sin, but he does discipline us. He loves us enough to correct us so that we will be trained in righteousness. And when he does this, when he brings correction into our lives, we need to repent, we need to confess our sin, and return to peaceful fellowship with him.
If you'd like a copy of this message, you can download it on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program on most podcast platforms. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'll continue our study of the book of Jonah next time as we together delight in the Word.